Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the UnitedWeStrike.com Radio Marathon. It is Saturday, January 10, 2015, our first marathon of the year after taking a month break. And it's always good to visit with our good friends here at UnitedWeStrike.com. And in this segment, it's all the way from New Zealand, Vincent Eastwood, and in Washington in the United States, Suzanne Polzel. Welcome, folks, to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's good to be back. And as I said before, while we were on break here, news to Radioland out there, it's the Chinese year of the Zodiac. What was it? The year of the sheep. So this will be a great year for conspiracy theories and ignoring most of them.
Or lots of interesting, crazy YouTube videos where people can decipher information within seconds of reading somebody else's information that they are sure is incredible and making a deduction. Oh, wait,
and
that is
course,
a conspiracy theory.
And, of course, those people refer to themselves as their credible source.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think
this happened, I've got a credible source.
Yeah, I think maybe this year will also be the year of the false flag. Like, everything will be a false flag. Everything. This is a false flag. Right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm clearly a shill, you know.
And, obviously.
There's just no argument against it. It's got to be done. You know, what do you do, buddy? Oh, I'm just shilling. They paid me a shilling to do it.
30 shillings? Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Well, I get that every month. You get it? Because there's 30 days in a month, you know, and you're shilling for 30 days.
Anyway, need a drum kit.
I do. Either that, or I had an idea for a Spanish guitarist, you know, so every time I make a lame a pun or something like that, he'll go, bang, bang, with the guitar, you know, it'd be great.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Be like a Mexican mariachi making bad jokes about scumbaggery.
By a New Zealander.
Yeah. You know, now, isn't that globalist? Isn't that multicultural? See? Told you, Michelle.
My son asked me if we could come visit you, and he wanted to know how far away you lived. So we looked it up, and it's over 69,000 miles. And my son's
69,000 miles. That's like a fifth of the distance to the moon. I thought it was like 10,000 miles.
Well, needless to say, my son's jaw hit the floor. He thought you were like down the street.
Well, the world's that small. In fact, I was speaking with a number of people recently about this, and they're saying, one person said, oh, New Zealand's not corrupt. I've actually had to laugh quite regularly recently because of the naivete of people. And ultimately, being jaded and being cynical is merely the mark of a journalist because you kind of see it all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. It's unfortunate. But I've come up with a new logical tool to go alongside Occam's Razor. It's called Focam's Razor, whereby if there are two options, the one option that sounds so terrible, so horrible, that you just don't want it to be true, is probably the correct one.
No, then we're going with emotional response. No. No, I don't agree with that.
I don't know. Somebody tell me, hey, they're passing a trade deal. And the one part of the argument is, oh, it's going to be really good for everybody. It's going to improve the economy. And the possibility that you don't want to accept that you wish wasn't true was it's part of an agenda to control your country and slave it to the global corporations and basically destroy everything that your ancestors and subsequent generations have died for anyway.
Yeah, but that's always been true.
Yeah. And that's the thing about official lines on things, you know, whatever seems to be. And this isn't like by any means a 100%, this is the way things are. It's always the worst possible option. You know, sometimes you're wrong. And in which case you celebrate. Yay, I'm not right about terrible things happening. But yeah, those seem to be a little bit fewer and further between day by day. It's quite unfortunate. And as a result, you need to figure out some kind of coping mechanism for it. Hence the terrible jokes. For example, how do aliens repair their damaged spacecraft? With a duct tape.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't understand why people are taking their own enslavement and extermination too seriously. I mean, come on. If you can't make jokes about murder and terrorism, what else is there to laugh about?
That's all we have now.
Yeah.
It's murder and terrorism, so what else are we going to joke about?
Yeah. I mean, come on. You can't go through life being too serious about the incredibly serious things. Otherwise, how are you going to deal with them? They're going to start to attach their seriousness to you, and you're going to start fights. You're going to start hurting people. You're going to start to get angry. You're going to start to burn out. You got to somehow release the baggage. You know? Not the Kraken.
Well, it's also how the generation takes in that programming that they got as a child and acts it out in their adulthood. The millennials are obviously much more apt to going out in public and protesting and becoming more aggressive in that style of saying, I don't like what the government is doing, as opposed to their grandparents who went out and started Woodstock. And there were radicals who were reading Saul Alinsky at the time, and there were obvious groups that still are alive today because of that. But millennials as a generation have obviously shown that they are more than willing to get up off their butts and go out there and demonstrate. And if it has to get a little bit aggressive, they're not opposed to it, and they're not intimidated by it.
Well, I think society collapses once there's a line in the sand and you basically palm off the responsibility for somebody else to protect that line, and you're not willing to protect it yourself at all. You know, that's how government basically works. We're going to protect the borders. We're going to protect the streets. We're going to protect absolutely everything. Don't protect yourself. And sooner or later, you figure out that the people who are paid to protect you wind up using their power to attack you and hurt you and destroy your freedoms. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, did I miss something? There's a lesson in history, like, not being taught that once you give people unlimited power and one other group of people the complete inability to defend themselves whatsoever. I mean, has there ever been a different outcome to this? Wasn't there some kind of prison experiment where they took them and a whole bunch of students and they played half of them to be guards and half of them to be prisoners? And they had to cancel the experiment really quickly on because the guards had all the power, the prisoners had none, and the guards just started abusing their power and being cruel and mean and bossing people around and becoming thug-like. You know? That's the kind of thing that happens all the time. And so whenever anybody starts to think or start telling me about trying to control other people or try to solve problems and things of that nature, but the little red flag goes up. It's like, I don't like power and control being put into the fewer and fewer hands. Really, if you're going to empower people, it has to be given freely to everybody rather than just to the tippy top of the elite, as is basically the only common practice.
Absolutely. We came from our grandparents were fighting the man and fighting the system and revolting and doing things that were more radical than their parents, who actually started the civil rights movement and who started the feminist movement, but did it in a way that was more cooperative within the construct of society, where the 60s just exploded into, you know, just screw it. I'm going to grow my hair long. I'm going to do drugs. I'm going to have sex. It doesn't matter. And then those children had children of their own and went on to hand them a key and say, hey, I'll be home at 10. Make sure the dishes are washed. You can help your brother or your sister get dinner. Worked exorbitant amounts of hours and created the Wall Street that we know today. And then moved on into their 60s now, integrating all of this control police state that they just 40 years earlier were fighting vehemently against as a group, whether it was the radicals who were, reading the radical groups like the Weathermen Underground, or if it was just the hippies who showed up at Woodstock. It's a complete 180, and it's very fascinating to me because you see it within between 60 years of a generation. And now they are in positions of power. They already have acquired all of their money through the yuppie, when they were yuppies in the 80s. They already own all the businesses. They already own, they sit in Congress. They sit in positions of power all over the globe. And they have come to the conclusion collectively that the man that they were fighting against, that they were somehow wrong, and they have to lock down the entire system in order to save it. It's absolutely fascinating to me how the control of a group, a generation through propaganda, when they're children, can have such a dramatic effect over the time of their life, to where they completely change the way that they see things and turn into the monsters that they were originally fighting against.
It's like they say in Batman, you either die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the bad guy. And personally, I've kind of thought about this a lot, actually. What if I become the bad guy? So I've made friends with people like you, Suzanne, and the people on this network, people who have a strong moral, ethical conscience, and also are incredible investigators and generally quite suspicious and difficult to get BS past. And the reason I've made friends with all of these people is because if at some point, heaven forbid, I turn into some form of douchebag, they will expose me, dethrone me, and so I can't continue to spread BS. Now, that's kind of a responsibility I think we all bear upon each other. You know, hey, bro, maybe you—that's not true. Here's a bit of information or whatever for you to research. You know, just approach somebody as a friend if they're saying something that isn't true, and you've got a little bit of evidence to show them that they may not have seen. Go for your life. What I don't get is when they make accusations that you're deliberately lying or something because you're ignorant. I mean, admitting your ignorance is the only way to stop it from getting worse.
Well, Generation X is very mistrusting. We didn't have the childhood that we thought we did. The movies that came out were against children, and children were a nuisance. We had to depend on ourselves. Our parents didn't pay for our college like their parents paid for theirs. We had to take out student loans. We had to go get jobs. We just lost all of our homes. We went out and bought all these homes, and then the stock market happened and it crashed. We're having less children than our parents did because, you know, we grew up with such a crappy childhood. Why have a kid of their own? But millennials have an advantage that Generation X is giving to them, where they have imbued that mistrust in institutions into them, but have also given them self-confidence in order to stand up for themselves. And I think that the baton being passed on to the millennials, obviously you're young, you're going to be, you know, you're young, what do you know? And to an extent that is true. But that spark, that self-confidence to stand up, and the community, the millennials have a strong sense of community. They've grown up with technology. They've always had cell phones and social media at their fingertips. So the idea that the world is a community and that we can work together as a community is very strong in this generation. And I think that the combination of those the combination of those three things will be what possibly propels us into any light at the end of the tunnel.
I was watching Lawrence of Arabia the other day, and they were talking about war and how war is the domain of young men and how peace is always brokered by the elders. And what this said to me was that if you've got the energy and the creativity and probably not the knowledge of pain and sacrifice and not the knowledge that you're not invulnerable, as is the youthful delusion, you can indeed play a part in a positive future for other people, even if you're no longer around to see it. The question I have is how many, and I think this is probably one of the more horrible realizations, what if our grandparents' generation didn't go off to fight fascism or didn't go off and die, get shell shock, get injured, and then come back not the same man. Did that happen because they were fighting to keep freedom, or was it merely a pretext to eventually take whatever freedoms they thought they had away from them slowly over time?
Well, to answer that question, you need to only look at the programming, the television shows, the books that were out, the way that they were being raised, the mindset of the parents at the time when they were in their 30s or early 20s when they were having them, and look at the morals and values that were instilled in them at those critical years between 0 and 10, and you will be able to then deduce how their future actions are going to play out, because that is the perspective in which they're based looking at everything. That's their foundation. And you can see that throughout their generation when you look at every decade when they change, and as times change and styles change. The boomers are incredibly fascinating to me, that they were so vehement against this one thing and became that thing in the end. And I think a lot of it has to do with the injection by the controllers, you know, by the Bernaysians and the Freudians and everything else, putting in those movies, putting out those books, putting out that music, telling the parents how to raise the children, the things that are acceptable in society. Maybe back then it was okay to spank your kid, now it's not. You know, those little things, what's going on in magazines, what's going on with marriages and home life. You put all of that data together and you realize that you have the blueprint of control over the perspective of people. So then every decision that they make is always based on that foundational level.
And if you don't have a good foundation, it doesn't matter what structure you build upon it, does it? And this is why people get that cognitive dissonance. 9/11's an inside job. No, it's not. The government would never do that. Steel and concrete particles don't fly apart like it's... Oh, my God. Come on, bro. It doesn't happen that way. But no. Planes hit it, and it brought it down. The government wouldn't lie. Even though you get these people in a conversation about any other form of government activity other than false flag terrorism, and without batting an eyelash, they'll say that the government would lie. The government will lie. Now, I think what happens is you build up your life. You build up your understanding of where you fit in the universe. And the reason why you're capable of being comfortable with that is because you've operated under a list of assumptions. Assumptions that make you more comfortable. Yeah? Isn't that about right? And as soon as somebody threatens those assumptions or blows them out of the water, you're suddenly very uncomfortable. And what happens to people when they get really uncomfortable? Let's say you walk into somebody's house and you're not invited and they don't want you there. Do they sit there and smile and quietly just, you know, let you come to your own conclusion? Or do they sometimes yell at you, scream at you, or call you names, or ask you to leave, or something of that nature? You always get that negative response from people. It's because you're taking over their personal space that they've made inside their head that they rely upon to keep themselves calm. You have taken that from them by telling them a truth that they don't want to hear. And George Orwell once said, if liberty means anything, it is the right to tell people what they don't want to hear.
We have created a society that is so paranoid that in Ohio, I was reading the story today, I don't know if it happened today or yesterday, in Ohio, this gentleman got off of work and was going to surprise his wife with breakfast in bed and accidentally tripped off the alarm, and she shot him in the chest, thinking he was an intruder. That's how paranoid our world has become. We are so frightened and so scared of everything that's happening, and more fear gets pumped into our brains every single day, to the extent that her first reaction was, oh my God, grab the gun and shoot the first thing I see. Whether or not it was her husband was not in her mind when she grabbed that gun. That's serious to me.
Well, you know what fear does to the brain? It shuts down the higher thinking processes. You know? Fear tells you, grab the gun, shoot it. Higher thinking processes go, grab the gun, make sure it's pointed at the ground, give somebody a warning, and then a warning shot if they happen to be identified, and then if they come at you and actually threaten your life, then pull the trigger and point the gun at them. That's the thing. If you've got no thinking process and it's all action, you're going to go into trouble. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I mean, that's why... what was it? Dr. Sam Shea was talking about the differences between men and women. Why men die generally more than women a short, violent death. It's because we act without thinking. And on the reverse, a lot of women, more than men, will die slow, painful deaths. It's because a lot of the time they think and don't act. And I was wondering... just, you know, a little bit of a personal wonder to myself. I wonder if we can actually get the entirety of society on an even keel, intellectually speaking, as in understanding the 3D universe in which you dwell. Radiation's not bad, not good for you. Basic historical principles. You give people power and control over you, they will use it on you. That kind of thing. If there was some way of educating the public in a mass scale, that would be lovely. However, it seems to me that it's an individual effort rather than a team effort here. I mean, everybody collaborates, corroborates, and helps each other out in their own little ways, but there doesn't seem to be any huge centralized structure propping up to oppose the current huge centralized structure that is bearing down on us. If anything, it seems to me to be more grassroots, individuals who've been traumatized, taking personal responsibility for exposing a single item of scumbaggery in their particular area of interest based upon their life story, who their parents were, and so on and so forth. Everybody's got an inroad to some form of scumbaggery. You know, it's like you can't go through life without being affected by scumbaggery. It just depends about which kind of scumbaggery affects you personally. That will be the one that you'll target. That will be your personal motivation, that you have some kind of moral or ethical judgment that will force you, even though you really don't feel like it, to go out and solve that problem by yourself without anybody's help if necessary.
That's exactly what we need. We need actual, real evidence to go after the actual, real people. We need to stop spinning our wheels on supposition and possibility. That's great. We can talk about that on a Friday night when we're sitting around having a beer. But when it comes time to do our work, we have to look for facts and evidence. We have to bring these people to justice. We have to stop this. The system is corrupt, but I promise you there are loopholes. I'm a paralegal. I understand this. There are ways in which to beat the system.
A paralegal is more powerful than a legal because there's a pair of them.
I was just talking to a gentleman on a show that I co-host on. This gentleman taught himself how the law works and all the loopholes and got himself off of a growing marijuana plants in his backyard charge. Completely got it thrown out. So it is possible, if you do the actual research and get real, credible information, to actually solve your problems. The problem is, the internet looks like the checkout stand right before you leave the grocery store. It's filled with News of the World and the World Weekly and the Mirror and all of these other tabloids that control basically the narrative and the supposition. And we're going after the wrong people, and we're thinking about the wrong things, and we're attacking the wrong places. That's our problem. We just need to get some real good evidence, some real good information, and go after the right people.
See, I'm terrible at that kind of thing. that just sounds too much like work to me. And a lot of people are like that as well. And I think the way I've tried to counterbalance that is by not taking action on things that I'm uncertain of. You know, I'll listen to anything, but unless I've actually seen what I deem to be sufficient evidence, as in somebody's presented this to me and they've backed it up, they've shown me the sources and so on and so forth, so that it becomes undeniable, I will defend it to death, you know. Well, not to death, but that's ultimately the realm in which I dwell, is there is a lot of uncertainty in the world. And sometimes you can indeed gain certainty on certain topics, and only on those topics will I actually try to argue and defend, because other than that, I'm too honest to say that I know when I don't. Right. Well, we aren't we wrapping up now about the next 90 seconds or so? So I'll say fare thee well, ladies and gentlemen of United We Strike. I'm Vinny Eastwood from the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. And I have a listener-supported broadcast that you can get the archives there for, dating back to 2010 now, completely listener-supported. So anybody wants to shell out a bit of donations for somebody who's doing a little bit of free radio and video work for the community to expose a little bit of scumbaggery, that would be very nice. Thank you very much.
I'm Suzanne Posel. My website is OccupyCorporatism.com. The USIndependent.com is the online newspaper that I started. Please check that out. And if you are interested in the purest form of CBD cannabidiol on the market without the hemp paste, which is filled with all sorts of God knows what, go to CrystalPureCBD.com. If you have any questions, you can email me at Posel, P-O-S-E-L, at MSN.com. Thank you very much. I always enjoy being on this show. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Vinny, for joining me.
Yeah, that's right. That cannabidiol is the best stuff on the market. Everything else has the cannabidiol down.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot. We always appreciate you guys coming on and supporting the strike or the marathon. Are you willing to stay for the roundtable?
Absolutely.
I can stay for 30
okay.
minutes.
Excellent. So we'll take us out here, and we'll be right back, folks, with the roundtable with all of our guest hosts.
You're listening to UnitedWeStrike.com Radio. Don't buy. Don't comply. Ask why. UnitedWeStrike.com Radio.
Some says I write you this letter. Days past and days yet to come, and the message of freedom, the message of freedom. I stand at the edge of the pages of history, and lessons unlearned. It feels like these pages are remaining unturned, but boys, it's no mystery. Children, I'm sorry to leave you this world in a state of disaster. It was given to me in a similar state, but I woke up so late in the game, now spiraling faster. Cause freedom's the answer, so what is the question? Resist the advances of force and aggression, and leave to your children the promise of something more. As God is my witness, I'll be a slave no more. Boys, listen close, for our souls may depend on the actions we take and the causes we choose to defend. So treat every man as a friend, and live your own lives in their divine processions. Transform your world with your selfless expressions. Reach out your hands.
You're listening to UnitedWeStrike.com Radio. Don't buy. Don't comply. Ask why. UnitedWeStrike.com Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the UnitedWeStrike.com Radio Marathon. It is Saturday, January 10, 2015. My name is Matt Navarro. I'm the host of the New World Order Report and producer here at the UnitedWeStrike.com Marathon. This is the section that I really look forward to every marathon. Because I get to hang out with some very intelligent people and have some very intelligent conversations that just stimulate my mind. And it takes a while to wind down from that after we get done with our discussions. And what it is our roundtable. We invite guests and our hosts to visit with us. We sometimes pick a topic. Sometimes we just go around the table and talk about what's on our minds. We'll pick a topic tonight and then just kind of have everybody, chat about what they think of it. But tonight I'd like to introduce two new folks to our roundtable, and that would be Sky Cubby from medicinalfoods.com and Joanne Consciousness, who had a great segment earlier this morning about some sky phenomenon that she's been seeing. So welcome, folks.
Thanks. Great to be part of the family. This is Sky Cubby out here on the Big Island of Hawaii with Medicinal Foods. And, we had a great show, and it's just really exciting to be getting this information out, sharing how people can embrace health and wellness at the next level. And definitely I'm honored to be a part of the show.
Well, thanks for participating, Joanne. Give us a brief introduction of who you are.
Thank you, Matt. It's great to be with you. Hi, guys, ladies. It's great to be with you all, too. Looking forward to this evening. My name's Joanne, and I have a Intel background, a top secret SCI clearance for 16 years, formerly. It's all formerly. I was a Russian crypto linguist analyst. Russian was my language that the military trained me in. I love imagery analysis, crop circle analysis, decoding, and now I'm into sky phenomena. I'm also a former minister. I have 5 languages under my belt and also a little bit of Greek and Hebrew. I love anything that has codes. I love codes and shedding internal programming and helping other people to do the same. So there's a whole lot of strange things going on in the skies. There is something that is there to figure out and decode. So I'm all over it with my camera and a group that I just opened in Facebook. We're growing so fast that we're going to expand into other platforms and a wider investigation. So it's really exciting to get up every single day and see what everybody's posting in terms of photographic evidence of all of this phenomena.
Interesting stuff that you talked about. I'd like to see all the evidence when you get up on your website. Also sitting in today on our round table is Vincent Eastwood, Am Rosen, and Suzanne Polzel, who you just heard. Let's start with you, Am. How about a quick introduction, please?
Well, hi, everybody. Happy New Year to you. Yes, Am Rosen. Well, as I say, I'm a philosopher, a health consultant professionally, integrating quite a number of different forms of the art over decades. And I've written a number of books. But what I really want to do after a lifetime of research and coming to understandings is I feel I have the direct insights, want to be challenged and questioned. I'm not guessing. I don't want to be believed. I want to make it clear that can explain everything that's going on and the tools that can help to turn it around and pull it into a whole new level, an overarching level that heals and harmonizes and allows us to move forward. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's always nice to have you along. Never at a loss for words, ever. Suzanne Polzel, welcome, and how are you this evening? Give us a quick introduction, please.
I'm doing well. I'm Suzanne Polzel. I'm the chief editor of OccupyCorporatism.com, as well as the chief editor and co-founder of the U.S. Independent, an online newspaper. Both of those news outlets are focused on evidence and fact-based news. Supposition is great to talk about while we're all sitting around on the couch, you know, after the kids go to sleep and, ooh, what's happening? But if I believe that if we have facts and evidence based on the past, when we have facts and evidence, people go down. So if we want to change things, we have to have real facts and evidence so we can go after the correct people and put them in jail or cause their corporation to collapse or whatever it is. I also, based on that, have looked into cannabidiol extensively and done a lot of research on it. And my husband and I were able to get a hold of the same grade, though plant-based, cannabidiol that they use in those research studies that they have, like on PubMed, where there's almost 1,300 studies on cannabidiol showing the positive effects from stomach aches to cancer. And because we got a hold of this this plant-based crystal form of CBD, which is the same crystal form that they use in those studies and get those same effects, I realized that the hemp paste has toxic solvents in it. There have been studies done over the course of last year that exposed toxic solvents, live microbial life, all sorts. It's basically unfit for human consumption, so the hemp paste has to go. The cannabidiol works. It's just on the market right now. All there is hemp paste. But I have crystal pure CBD. It is crystal pure. It's a crystalline form of CBD with hemp oil, and that's it. No more paste. So go to crystalpurecbd.com if you're interested. And I'm sorry I took up a lot of time, but thank you.
we'll have to do a show about that sometime, Suzanne, because I'd like to learn more. I know you do like doing your homework, and you really dig into the facts and details about things. And that's part of the reason I like you so much is because you are credible. So let's think about doing a show sometime about that. Vinny Eastwood, all the way in New Zealand, thanks for getting up so early in the morning, sir.
It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, bro.
Well, for you, it's early morning, right?
Other side of the world, bro, not the moon.
How about a quick introduction?
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show. And I'm kind of like the Joker comedian. You could consider me like a family court jester or something of that nature. But anyway, I'm got more YouTube subscribers than the New Zealand Herald TV in New Zealand, our equivalent of the New York Times. Have a radio show, the Vinny Eastwood Show .com, which has been going since 2010, and I am funded almost entirely by listener donations and contributions. And my project this year, hope to be finished by July the 4th in line for Independence Day, is I'm going to make a documentary, pitched at an American audience, but it's about New Zealand. It's about our leaders and the global inner workings, about how pretty much everything sort of goes around. For example, in 2008, New Zealand elected a guy who used to work for the Federal Reserve in 2008. Sorry, he got elected in 2008 for a blue party campaigning on a platform of change. And in the first year term of his leadership, borrowed more money than all previous prime ministers in the country combined. Does this sound familiar, Americans? It's exactly the same thing that's going on. So the documentary is going to cover a lot of topics, for example, international banking and derivatives markets, blind trusts, loans created out of nothing and charging interest for them, secret societies, the prime ministers and everybody's ties to Freemasonry and the 33rd degree mantra, order out of chaos, origins of the powerful roundtable groups and think tanks like Parliamentarians for Global Action, the UN, Committee for Auckland, Project for a New American Century, Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission, but on Agenda 21 and climate change and the elite agenda to be able to control human activity, our toxic environment with chemical contamination of food, air and water with smart meters, Wi-Fi, dirty electricity and the threat to health and people's mental ability, the corruption and state capture and how it's possible to influence government at a policy level, the intelligentsia, how it finances black ops with drugs and is in the process of setting up an irresistible global surveillance grid and control and monitor both citizens and elected officials alike, false flag terrorism and the Hegelian... I'm sorry, I'm going on here. I'm almost done.
It's going to be a long documentary.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the way that I'm going to do this in the style is I'm taking bullet points from who I consider to be some of the top researchers in the world about these topics. Simply like, you know what they call sound bites, audio nibbles, that kind of thing. You're going to weave them together in a script so that everything makes sense. It's all done in a correct format and with as few words as possible, get as much facts crammed into it. So it's going to feel like you're being shot with a machine gun of information. False flag terrorism and the Hegelian dialectic, or the problem-reaction-solution, how staging crises can be used as a tool for rapid social engineering through fear. And psychopaths, the mentality, behavior, and red flags showing if your leader is one of them. The left-right paradigm, how both major parties and now even minor parties support almost exactly the same policies as each other. Trade deals like the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, NAFTA, the European Economic Community, how they undermine national sovereignty and prepare nations for governance by international corporations and globalist authorities. NATO, the coming world army, New Zealand and other nations' role in a militarized future. Depopulation, covert sterilizing agents currently in the global food chain, evidence of plans for large-scale extermination of the human race, engineered bioweapon outbreaks, covert technology, and touching on the medical industry, which is arguably the Western world's leading cause of death. Media, how it was infiltrated, corrupted, and is now used predominantly as a tool for shaping and limiting public perception. Geopolitics and the slow, steady setup of an irresistible fascist world government that may dominate humanity forever. And the closing chapter of the film will focus on simple, common-sense solutions that anyone can implement in their own lives. Inspiring stories, discoveries, and case studies illustrating successful resistance to tyranny throughout history. Why there is cause for hope and a moral obligation to play part in ensuring the survival of the free human race. Because there's not a whole bunch of point in survival if you're not free.
I would focus a lot on the solutions part, because that's what, you know, we advocate here at UnitedWeStrike.com is for everyone to unite as a species, as a race around the world in resistance against the New World Order. Don't buy, don't comply, ask why is our simple motto, but it really makes sense. Don't buy into their lies, don't comply with their illegal mandates, and ask why. Why are they wanting to do this? And the general answer that you get back is extermination of the human species. So we've gone around the table, and everyone's got a chance to introduce themselves. We'll have to talk about that documentary, Vinny, once you get it out. Maybe get you on my show.
Well, I can't do it just yet. I'm still trying to fundraise for it. We're trying to raise $6,000 for the purchase of a camera and a new computer. So anybody who wants to contribute to see, make sure this thing can be made, just go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and donate. I'd really appreciate it.
Okay. Now, I want to try to keep this to an hour or so, but these discussions can take a life of their own, that's for sure. We're entering into a new year. This past year, you know, we saw a great victory, in my estimation, against the New World Order. And that was in large part to people like Dr. Rima Lebo. We took away Ebola as a false flag event. They were trying to scare us into thinking that we're going to die tomorrow. They left the borders open, encouraged people to come into the United States, bring in this disease, but it would have worked if not for people like Dr. Rima Lebo blowing the whistle on things like nanosilver and how it deactivates the Ebola virus. So I think that was a win against that false flag event.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, so what I'm asking the panel tonight is, what is your idea of what may be coming down the road for 2015? I suspect more false flag events, but since the world is waking up to efforts like all of us here at the table tonight and others and thousands of others around the world trying to make others aware, I think the waking up process is accelerating, and these false flag events like the downing of that Malaysian airliner by the Russians turned out to be a false flag and got discredited in a hurry. I'm thinking more people will wake up and more false flag events like the France shooting will be exposed quickly, and we then disarm the New World Order. We're starting to see wins like that. What do you guys think about that? Let's start with Sky.
Well, there's no doubt there's going to be the next Ebola, swine flu, you name it. But I think it was so empowering to have Keith Muller on the show today, because we got to talk about the nanosilver and the clinical data that shows that it can pretty much wipe out any pathogen that it has been tested against. And so for people to not live in fear, for them to be able to feel the freedom of being able to travel to another country, not have to get vaccinated, but to know that the clinical data shows that it'll wipe out malaria within 3 days, you know, that's empowering. And for people to have be empowered by health, you know, I grew up in my parents had a summer camp for kids where they did some of the first organic gardening and backpacking. It was called Earth Camp One in the Southern Cascades, written up as the best summer camp at the time by Newsweek. And I had double pneumonia when I was 6 months old because of the cold weather, and got shot up full of antibiotics, and definitely have been on my healing journey, and created medicinal foods out of this quest for health. But also watched my dad have to sell the camp because he got a cancer of the adrenal gland, and he ended up fighting that for his, it was given a few weeks to live at one point, but you'll be interested to know that it was cannabis that doctors all over the world, even from the Mayo Clinic, have said that it is why he is one of the only people to have survived from this rare form of adrenal cancer. And he went on to write Proposition 215 for medical marijuana, and was a big proponent in that as this case set precedence. And he went up against major corruption in the legal system. They said that may work for those fags down in San Francisco, but not up here in Placer County. And they raided his house, took his garden, took him away from his children, and put him in jail. And he was able to get all of his possessions back, get all the federal charges dismissed. And, you know, he's been definitely a freedom fighter, along with Conrad, Dennis Perrone, and all of the other Mary Hempsters and all the other freedom fighters. But there's definitely a resurgence on the health front of people taking their power back with alternative health. And I think we're going to see more of that. As Keith said in my interview with him, we definitely have the ability to help millions of people, to save millions of people's lives, as we get out the technology and these cutting edge health and wellness products, utilizing some of the ancient indigenous techniques as well as new technology. But I also believe there's going to be those false flag terror events. And on another topic besides health, I do believe this year we're going to see some major disclosure stuff, and we're going to see more things in the sky, as our guest spoke about earlier, the host that came on, Joanne. And I think that you're definitely onto something there, because it seems to be leading up to this thing where there's a threat and threat reaction response and that whole deal. But now I believe the threat is going to come from outside, from the sky. And there's going to, you know, we had the whole issue with the comets and the asteroids and stuff, but either it's going to be more of that, or it's just going to be, you know, some kind of, staged, event where we are being threatened by some alien force. I think it's really been building up to this kind of situation. What do you guys think?
Well, I think Joanne would have a lot to say about that. But since he has to leave us shortly, we'll come back. We'll come back to that, Sky, because Joanne and I were talking about that a little bit earlier. But Vinny, your thoughts on what's coming this year? You've got your finger on the pulse down there. To me, you're like the Alex Jones of the Southern Hemisphere. What do you see?
I like to think of Alex Jones as the Vinnie Eastwood of the Northern Hemisphere, but yeah.
I like the confidence.
Yeah, damn right, baby. well, I don't know. I've always been really skeptical about predicting future trends and things like that. Some people can do it. For me, what this reminds me of is my geography teacher when I was 16 years old, and I asked him how to predict the weather without having any equipment. And he says, the weather's most likely going to be tomorrow what it is today. And what it is today in terms of the global weather is false flag attacks and propaganda, and simultaneously people waking up and being activated to wake others up. I've likened our struggle against authoritarianism as very similar to the story of the tortoise and the hare. We're the hare. We've been sleeping under the tree for quite a long time, thinking we were so far ahead, we were so free, we were so successful. And meanwhile, the slow, hammer-wielding tortoise has been cruising towards that finish line, and we're only just now waking up and rushing towards that finish line. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. All I know, it's going to be close. And in terms of what I think's going to happen for 2015, we were referring to aliens and that kind of thing. Well, Wernher von Braun said that that's probably on the cards, and whether real or imagined, there might conceivably be some kind of alien threat, and then everybody on Earth just goes, oh my God, there's aliens from an outer space, Kyle, and they're trying to threaten our species. So we, obviously, as one species of humanity, have to come together with a great, loving, socialist world government to suppress all our freedoms in order to protect us from the evil aliens that they projected holographically through their satellites for Project Bluebeam. Or I could be wrong. All right. But, yeah, that's my two cents.
That was good, Vinny. Yeah, we can see that coming. And thanks for taking the time to spend with us today, Vinny. I know you have to run, so we appreciate you taking your time to share with us your comments. Give us your websites again and how we can listen to you.
It's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. And you can check me out on YouTube as well by either searching my name, Vinny Eastwood, or looking up Mr. News Guerrilla Media. That's Guerrilla with one R, two L's. And, yeah, the New World Order can go to L.
Well, good luck on the documentary. Thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to having you back again next month.